Hey there, friend. You are in for a great episode. I'm excited for you to apply what you learn. But after that, which episode will you listen to next? It can feel a bit overwhelming when there are so many episodes to choose from. That's why I created the podcast Roadmap for You. It's a free resource you can use that outlines the first 30 episodes I recommend listening to when you're either new to the podcast or coming back after a break and looking to get started, taking action toward creating permanent weight loss, as well as peace and freedom around food. To get it sent to you right away, just go to KatrinaEubelMD.com/start. Again, KatrinaEubelMD.com/start. Listen to the first episode and apply what you learned to yourself and your life. Then listen to the next episode. Apply that information and on you go. It won't take long and you'll see positive changes on top of building your momentum. So get the podcast roadmap now. KatrinaEubelMD.com/start. Enjoy this episode. You are listening to the Weight Loss for Busy Physicians podcast with Katrina Ubel, MD, episode number 250. Welcome to the Weight Loss for Busy Physicians podcast. I'm your host, Master Certified Life and Weight Loss Coach, Katrina Ubel, MD. This is the podcast where busy doctors like you come to learn how to lose weight for the last time by harnessing the power of your mind. If you're looking to overcome your stress eating and exhaustion and move into freedom around food, you're in the right place. Well, hello there, my friend. How are you today? I'm so glad you're here. And if you are new and we've never met before, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. If you're a more seasoned, longtime listener, first-time caller, then I'm so glad that you're back with me again. I got a message a little while ago. It's actually been a little while. I just pulled it up beforehand because every time I say like, well, hello, my friend, it reminds me of lovely Angie, who sent me a message. I'll leave out some of the information that, you know, kind of specifies exactly who she is because she did not tell me that I could share this publicly, but she said, I stepped on the scale this morning and it said 201 pounds. She's a doctor in Canada. A small victory for me. My mid BMI weight is 135 pounds. I've managed being overwhelmed with work and home and an unhappy marriage with overeating, overdrinking, and overspending, mainly in private, but not well-kept secrets. When I hear you say, hello, my friend, at the start of your podcast, I feel like I really am your friend. I want to thank you for the possibilities you've encouraged me to see. I mean, what? Angie, seriously, oh, I am your friend. I really am here for you. Oh, it's so good, right? And she goes on and says some other really nice things. And I just want you to know that I really am thinking about each person individually, thinking about you, yes, you, when I say hello, my friend. So glad you're here. I really am glad that you're here. And I just love that me showing up every week and having a little one-sided conversation is so helpful. And Angie, I just know that you're just killing it, girl. You are doing the work and that's amazing. And also, I just want everybody else to send a little, whatever you like to do, prayer, little, you know, message of strength, send good vibes, whatever it is that you like to do, send them to Angie because I have a feeling that she could really use that extra boost of support and she'll be feeling all the listeners that we have, just sending some goodness over to Angie. All right, I have a treat for you. So my client success story today, weight loss success story, is with Jo Braid. And we're just going to call her Dr. Jo Braid because the number of initials that she has after her name, I don't even really know how to say it all. And so she told me that they just go by Dr. Jo Braid. That's her name. she called herself a physiatrist, but she does rehabilitation medicine. So kind of depending on where you are in the world, that will make sense to you as to what she does. I think she specifies in traumatic brain injury. She'll tell you all about that. And she is one of our lovely, lovely, lovely people who lives in Australia. So you may be thinking, how is it possible for a doctor in Australia to take part in a weight loss program that's in the United States? Well, it totally works. Did you know that we have coaches all around the world? We have a coach in Hawaii. We have a coach in Hong Kong. We have coaches in the UK. We have coaches all around. So we can basically offer one-on-one coaching all like 24/7, essentially. So we really are able to offer some really great help. And in addition to that, so much, everything that we offer is recorded. And as Jill will tell you, I only personally coached her one time in the 12 months that she was with us, 6 months in Weight Loss for Doctors Only, and then 6 months in the master's program that she continued on with. So I think a lot of people think like, well, I won't be able to get on those calls, or I won't very often be able to. It really honestly doesn't matter. What I teach you to do is I teach you to listen so you can get all the coaching help you need, even when someone else is being coached. And then also, maybe on occasion, you want to get up super early or stay up late so you can try to be on a call live. And that's totally fine as well, if that's something you want to do. And of course, you get all that one-on-one private help. So I just want to let you know that if you are not in, you know, straight up US or Canada, that yes, we do offer a lot of availability for other parts of the world as well, which is so great. But anyway, Jo is just a lovely, delightful person. You're just going to love hearing from her. She's originally from the UK and then moved quite some time ago to Australia and has lived there ever since. And yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I think the weather's probably a lot better in Australia. That's my guess. It's just far away from things, right? There's trade-offs to everything. So anyway, I know you're going to enjoy this conversation with Jo. She's just such a lovely person. And she even told me after we finished recording that she had just, as you know, one of the nice byproducts of being in the program, she started playing violin again and really enjoying that. And that she's part of this whole Australian group of women who play the violin, who all played, you know, I'm not going to explain it well, but anyway, everyone was playing and they're singing and whatever. And it's like one of those, because they're in lockdown. So it's like all, I want to say manufactured. I don't think that's the right word, like all edited together so that it looks like everybody's together. It sounds like everybody's together. And I just think that's so great. So great. All the ways that we are able to support each other in these days of, you know, pandemic surges and, you know, some places are locked down, some places are open again and all of that. So in any case, I will stop yakking away and let you listen to my interview with Dr. Jo Braid. Please enjoy. Please come and join me tomorrow night on that free training. And otherwise, I will talk to you next week. Take care. Jo, I am so happy to have you on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Katrina. I'm delighted to be here today.
Yay. So fun. Okay. So I want to start off. I always just love hearing everybody's, you know, initial story. I would love to know just a little bit, but just tell everybody a little bit more about you, you know, where you live and all that fun stuff.
Sure. So my name's Jo Braid. I live in Orange in New South Wales, a little town in Australia. And I am a mom of three gorgeous boys aged 5, 8, and 9 and a wife to an amazing husband. And I originally came from the UK where I did medical school at Nottingham. Then in 2003, I traveled over to Australia. My dad's Australian and I've lived here ever since and just had such a great time in life and in healthcare here as well.
Amazing. So, okay, I'm just going to totally show you my ignorance. Is this like a thing amongst people who are British or, you know, from the UK going to Australia? Do people go like kind of back and forth or is this unusual?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I would say it is quite a thing. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of other Brits or Poms or whatever we call them over here in even locally in Orange, as well as certainly around Australia. And then yes, we'd also see Australian doctors when we were working in the system there too. So definitely.
Okay. So back and forth. Okay. Because I feel like that's come up, you know, even as I've coached other doctors who live in England, they're like, oh, and then we're thinking about going to Australia. Just like, it's like a thing we do, you know, we just go to Australia. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is pretty normal.
Good to know. Amazing. Okay. So I would love to know where, like what your story is with, you know, food and weight, when you started struggling and how that, you know, kind of presented itself in your life.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So I was always pretty skinny as a kid. I'm sure I was given the name Robin Legs in junior school. There was like no real dramas at all until I went over to Japan in my gap year for 6 months, had a great time working in a care home there, came back, ate a lot of rice, came back home. And my brother, who was 16 at the time, I was 19, said, "Whoa, what happened to you?" as we opened the front door. what a welcome home. Thanks, Al. Love you too. And I think I really had a sense of awareness then of like, okay. And so then,
do you think in your own recollection or when you see pictures, how much do you think you really had gained a lot of weight? Or okay,
yeah, really chubby cheeks. Yeah, I look quite inflamed, I guess is what I'd say now. But I looked like, yeah,
like quite full of rounded
extra stuff. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how much I weighed before I went there, but then I was very aware, and I sort of went through uni. So then I went into uni, and I was, you know, quite obsessed by things then, I guess. Working as a junior doctor in Sydney, I definitely went through Weight Watchers and nailed that and did well. And when I stopped that, then, you know, it sort of came on, and the long-term management was just not there for me. Fast forward to when we got married, and I was my wedding weight, shall we say. Then we quickly conceived our firstborn, and I had a lot of morning sickness. And when I got back home on about day two or three, I was 4 kilos lighter. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? I just had a baby and lost weight. That was a little bit strange, because I just couldn't figure out how that had happened. But then I stayed really stable then pretty well with all my three boys. I didn't really go up and down, certainly not gaining per pregnancy. And then it's just been much more in the last 2 or 3 years, I went back up to my wedding weight, which is a funny way to think about it, but I was actually sort of less for about, I would say, the best part of 7 years, less than my wedding weight by about 5 or 6 kilos. So it's never been a huge amount, but it's just got into me that I can't really maintain. I can do fasting, I can do a spray, I can try out these different things, but the long-term management just wasn't there. So I guess that's my story of sort of getting to how different your program has been, and how I can see the maintenance is going to be there with your program.
Yeah. So for most people, when they talk about their wedding weight, they mean that as like a low, like, you know, like as a goal. But for you, it was higher, is what, just to clarify. Yeah. So that was what was higher. And then I'm only laughing because I was just listening to a podcast a couple of days ago where the host was saying that, you know, so many women try to lose weight for their weddings. It should be the other way around. You should get yourself as big as you can be. So then when you see the pictures the whole rest of your life, you're like, dang, I look good.
That's great. Yeah.
That's coming to mind. So anyway, so you found yourself kind of with the weight creeping back on. You've got the three boys, you're working, and you didn't say what you do as a doctor.
Sure. So I am, in American terms, I'm a physiatrist, and in Australian terms, I'm a rehabilitation medicine doctor, and I specialize in traumatic brain injury.
Okay, great. Okay, excellent. Okay. So you're working, you're doing the kids, and you're just noticing the weight creeping back up again. Did you have a moment where you're like, okay, I have to do something about this?
I think part of me was going, maybe I'll just sit with this. Maybe this is going to be okay. It was so all within my head. I was not getting any external feedback that there was an issue at all. It was just within me. And I'm like, maybe this is just my norm and I just sit with this. And then other days I would go, but no, I feel so much better, like 5 kilos down. I know I do. I was there in March 2019, for an example, and I knew, well, yeah, I had that feeling of life will be better when I get there. So I was sort of hanging on to that as well. And then what was the other part of your question?
I was just saying, at what point did you know I need to make a change? Like I need to do something.
Yeah. I think it was more like I found your podcast and I was like, maybe this is the approach that I need to take. I felt always something needed to change, but I had no idea what that other tool in the toolbox was. I couldn't see anything different. It all looked like whatever style of protocol people had you on, that was that. But I never saw anything that really had thought work as the crux of it. So I was just looking out and I found you and I found your podcast and I went right back to the beginning of your podcast. I was like, oh my God, listen to this approach.
And yeah. So something resonated, obviously. You were like, yes, okay, this might be something I need. Okay. Okay. So then what made you take the leap to sign up for the program? I'm just curious.
Sure. Yeah, it was a case of, and I'm sure other people have said this to you, like it sounded like you were talking to me. You know, I just could hear you on the podcast talking about, what was it in the beginning, like sort of sticking to a protocol or sticking to what you said you'll do and not reneging on what you've said you'll do. And I was like, oh, that sounds a bit like what I've done in the past, like reneging on what I do. And why does that happen? There were just lots of sort of aha moments that I realized I could pick up some things from the podcast, but I really wanted to get into the program to see what the real pathway was. And without that sort of one-on-one group structure program that you've got set up there, I just felt like I wasn't going to apply it to myself so well. So it was a really easy decision. I found out about you in July 2020. I could see your September group coming up. I literally had to think about it for 2 or 3 weeks, watched the webinar and jumped on board. There was like, not much waiting around here. Okay. I was like, I'm doing this.
Decision maker. But you know what? I think what that really speaks to is how much it was clear to you. This is what I need. I understand, like, yeah, this is the path. This is the way I want to take this. So yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I had very, very similar story in the sense that I was just like, I'm not even sure what this is, but I'm pretty sure I need it. So yes, sign me up. Here's my credit card. That's great. So you got into the program and there are so many different things that you have learned and applied to yourself. One of the things that you wrote was so novel for you was processing emotions. I would love to know what your background was on, you know, I mean, my understanding, and again, I don't want to, you know, be making presumptions, but you know, between the shows that I've watched and a brief visit to England, it's my impression that, you know, culturally it is really valued to keep your emotions, you know, under lock and key. I mean, I think this is the case for a lot of cultures, but in the UK in particular, would you say that's correct?
Yeah, I think stiff upper lip, you know, keeping it all held within you is a very normal way of the English way. And I know I've had some Aussies here who sort of said, oh my God, you're so English in that way sometimes. But then Katrina, I'd say add on medical training and training as a doctor, like from early on, you need to set up this emotional barrier, even though they never really, really said emotional or this cloak or this gown. And I felt that was like almost a lead radiography kind of gown that was really, it was really hard for me to see those emotions come out. It was really hard to feel what was going on. And I knew that had been my norm for about 20 years, let alone the English part of my life, but sort of the medical part of my life. I felt that I really hadn't expressed my emotions much at all. And through working with your wonderful coaches, I really have had many sessions where I've been able to embody my emotions, which are not always comfortable emotions, but I have that real sense of what they feel like in my body, how they move, what their color's like, what their temperature is like. It's so descriptive. It's all in there. And once I was able to start processing emotion, which has also been a bit later in the program for me, it's been in my second 6 months, not my first 6 months, then, you know, a depth of understanding of myself was sort of unpeeled. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's actually, you know, relatively common experience, right? We're like, I'm only going to do the processing emotion part if I absolutely have to. Like, let me do the other things first. Let me see. That's like the last thing you leave for the end if you have to. And then you're like, oh, wait, I have to do it. What I've found is that with it, because similarly, I mean, I just did not have access to very much emotionally at all. And what I found is that when you are able to process emotion, particularly with somebody else, and you really understand, like you described so well, like what it actually feels like, and you stop thinking you shouldn't be feeling that way, meaning you stop resisting the fact that you have that emotion, it becomes a lot less uncomfortable. Not to say that it's necessarily comfortable, but it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. You're like, yeah, I can do this. I can get through this, which allows you to actually process it and move on rather than going back to like, let me eat something or, you know, all the other ways that we try to avoid and distract.
Yeah. So true. Just getting comfortable with the uncomfortable and awareness of the uncomfortable rather than, yeah, exactly as you say, buffering with food or spending or alcohol or whatever.
Well, and you know, I think too, that we're like, it's like get comfortable with the uncomfortable, which everyone hates because everyone's like, no, I don't want to do that. Right. But I think what it comes down to too, is that the uncomfortable becomes familiar too. There's like a familiarity to that. Like that's at least my experience where I'm like, yeah, this doesn't feel good, but I know this emotion. Like I've got kind of like, I don't know, just reminding me of like when you have little babies and the baby cries and you got to get up and like, you don't want to do it. And like everything, you know, you're so tired, it hurts and you don't want to get up, but there's the familiarity of like, well, I mean, I'm just going to go and do it. It's not going to get any better. So like, let me just get up and be this baby and change him. And like, off we go with, you know, it's a, just kind of that same thing where you're like, well, I mean, it's not my first choice, but I can do this. I can get through this, knowing that it gives you the result you want later.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So you had an experience where you went back from Australia to the UK and were there with your mom and you had kind of a transformative experience there in terms of, well, lots of things. So I'm going to let you talk about it, but could you share what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So here we are in 2021. Australia has locked its borders. So you have to apply to the government to even get out of the country. So my first application was rejected.
And tell everybody why you wanted to go back to the UK.
Okay. So my mom was unwell in the UK. She was having cancer treatment. My father had passed last year and I couldn't get over for his last days or his funeral. So it was a very tender moment to be able to get over. My amazing husband said, you sort out getting out of the country and we'll manage here. Full-time medical practice for him. So yeah, there were so many steps involved, but my second application, I worked out sort of what the words were.
You had to figure out how to play the game.
And I got the approval to go and I booked my ticket. I already had a travel agent lined up. I sort of booked my ticket within days. I was on a very empty plane over to London and my mom had been in hospital for most of April. She managed to get herself discharged home at 9:30 p.m. on a Sunday night of the day that I got into England. Wow. Go figure. I don't know that I've ever discharged anybody on a Sunday night at 9:30 p.m., but she could do it. So we all woke up in the morning. My brother was there and mom was there, and it was like the most amazing moment. And so I had quarantine at her place, which was fine because I was only there to be with her. And we had the most amazing 4 weeks together of totally loving on mom. It was a really different part of our relationship than we've had earlier on. Like I've always felt like the child, but I think this time I felt like the adult daughter next to her. And yeah, all I can say was, it was like, mom, what can I make you? Mom, what are your favorite things that you want to have? You know, she'd had weight loss in her cancer treatment and she'd just not been particularly enthused about foods. There was a lot of love. There was a lot of baking, bought a new freezer, filled that up. And there were lots of meals together, which was great. Although I was still only having coffee and cream for breakfast, which was I totally owned because, you know, historically it had always been a bowl of porridge or muesli or whatever. And I just had morphed through that. I stood in myself knowing what I was going to be having, but totally loving on her and not making her judgment on me wrong or whatever I felt might have been going on there. So I wouldn't say I dropped the ball, but I changed how much I watched like the scale and my protocol and so forth. I'd pretty well dialed in my protocol. So I knew what that was. And actually it was the easiest with mum because that was all the things I'd enjoyed from my childhood. And it sort of tied in well with just meat and veg or fish and veg and some fruit. And so we just had a gorgeous 4 weeks together. Then I got back on the plane. Fortunately, I got back on allocated plane because in the return flights into Australia have been very difficult. Lots of people get bumped and have like 2 months to wait before they actually get home. But yeah, so I was so glad to get back into Sydney for 2 weeks hotel quarantine there. That's just the normal. That's what you have to do. You get locked up in this room. You cannot step over the threshold for 2 weeks. There's army around. There's police around. It's like super serious and plenty of COVID swabbing going on, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I did have my travel scale with me and I weighed in when I got in the hotel room and I've like dropped 4 kilos, which is about 9 pounds, I think, over those 4 weeks that I've been with mum. And I just couldn't even quite figure out how it had happened. But there'd obviously been a big change up in the environment, in the scene that I'd been in. And there was time and there was love and there was love for mum. And I think there was also a lot of kindness that came towards myself as well. And that continued through the hotel quarantine, which I actually ended up loving rather than feeling that I was stuck in this room for so long. It was amazing for so many different reasons. And, you know, I met up with my family and I achieved my goal weight as per what I'd set up in the program by June. So I was away late April through till 8th of June. I saw my family once again. And over those 6 weeks, it all happened and it's all been maintained. I mean, there are little bumps in the journey, but this is like, wow.
Well, what I wanted to, because I bet you there's a lot of people listening who are like, hold on a second. What voodoo magic was that? That you went, you know, across the world and then you were with your ailing mother, you know, for a month together. And, you know, there was like so much love, all this. And you're like, and I got to goal weight while I was going through that process. Like, how is that possible? So I would love to just, first of all, just point out that the reason why I think you were able to approach your mom from that place is because of the work you'd already done, right? On yourself and working through everything. Like it, you're not just going back from like the old relationship that you had and then like poof, like magically it was different. Like you'd put effort into that to create a different experience for yourself. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think one of my very common themes through those sort of 9 months of coaching that I'd already had was about self-love. It was about self-worth. It was, you know, trying on that new belief about myself that was okay to believe. And it took a lot of practice and it took a lot of failing. And there was still a lot of challenges that happened in those earlier 9 months. And I do think it was that fail and try again, that the try again came through with the goods in that time in England. So yeah, there was a lot of background work beforehand. I was continuing to coach in the UK, which actually opened up your calendar to different coaches because of the time change. I was like, this is awesome. And then back in hotel quarantine, the lovely M Wong in Hong Kong was on a more similar time frame. So we had some great coaching sessions together then.
Amazing. Amazing. I just want to point out that what you did, that was really like the culmination of all this work that you had done. You know what I mean? Like and I love how you were like, you know, I wasn't so focused on like, and on top of everything, I need to get this weight off. Like you just kind of like let it go. You know what I mean? Like you like open up the grip that we often have, like we're clenching, like I have to create this. You can just open your hand and just live it. You don't have to be stepping on the scale necessarily every single day, right? Like you're feeding your body in a way, like you were cooking for her, you filled a freezer of food, you were baking, you're doing all this stuff and you still lost weight because you can be around food and not gain weight and even lose weight when you have done this mind work and when you continue to do it, right? Versus like, oh, how am I going to control myself and the stress of everything? I'm going to have to eat my way through this. And you go home, you know, considerably heavier. So it's just, you're such a great example of what's possible that can, you know, and you didn't even go in thinking this is what I'm going to create. Like it just happened. It was just a result. So when everyone's like, how do you get to that goal weight? Like, this is how, right? You really love on yourself.
It was one of the last things on my mind. I was not focusing on my goal weight at that point. I had so many other, I don't know that we can rank things in terms of importance, but I had so many things that I was drawn to in that moment. You know, I knew it was an amazing 4 weeks with mum that, you know, I don't know how we're ever across the world going to create that happening as well. It was an absolute gift. And that's what I was focused on, like the time with mum there. And yeah, so it wasn't my weight that I was focused on there, but you know, taking that pressure off myself, exactly as you say, that I'm going to come back into Australia and I'm going to weigh this weight. That was not how I was approaching it at all.
But I also think it shows that you were not looking at it like, I'm only going to do these things until I get to goal weight. Cause that's often what we do, right? Like I'm only, for me, counting points at Weight Watchers, like I was only going to do that. I wasn't going to do that long-term. Like I never thought that I would do that long-term, but when you're thinking about it, like, this is the way that I nourish my body. This is the way that I treat myself. regardless of what my weight is, your body can then settle into a normal weight for your body. And then you can just easily continue with that, right? You maintain it because that is how you continue to treat yourself versus now I got to figure out how I can not be miserable following this diet plan that I'm not willing to follow. Like now, what am I going to do? Like, sure, I lost weight, but I'm not going to do this forever. What am I going to do instead? And you know, you mentioned like you still have the coffee and cream for breakfast in the morning that you were still doing, you know, fasting, but I was like, you probably would have lost it even if you'd eaten breakfast. Like, you know, it's, there's nothing, you know, like necessarily magical about that. Right. Like, I think that it's, I love to just think about it. Like it's possible all the ways to create that, right? When you're really listening to what your body needs, maybe your body's saying, yeah, you know what? I don't need anything in the morning, or sometimes maybe it does need it and you can still create the results that you want because you're not overeating.
Yeah. 100%. And I think I just want to let you know that when I definitely comparing before I went away and when I came back. So in the mornings, I'll totally own this. I would have a bit of a poor me mentality, making lunch boxes, cooking hot breakfast for my kids, trying to have a hot coffee if possible.
A lot of people can identify with that story.
And I'd be like, oh God, I'm not eating anything this morning. Like kind of, I really want to have an omelette as well or something like that, or scrambled eggs. And that had all changed when I came back. So something about that thought work, and I am more than happy to cook for my kids. Like I always was happy to cook for them, but I don't feel a sense of lack or a sense of missing out anymore in the morning. And exactly as you said, sometimes I do tap into my hunger I always tap into my hunger, but sometimes I do have a breakfast. It won't be often, but sometimes I do, and it doesn't make a difference on the scale. So just listening.
Because part of that, what I love about, I just think that we're so used to thinking so black and white about food and our bodies that we're like, well, if you don't, you know, if you like to fast through breakfast, that means you have to do it every single day for the rest of your life. And, you know, I mean, you can, if you want to, and if that's what feels good to you, then absolutely you're welcome to do that. But what I love then thinking about is like, okay, we've created what we want. Now we really, I mean, as you said, like continue to develop this, but really moving into like, what is my body telling me? Like every now and then my body's like, I would like to eat this morning. You know, like the most loving thing to do would be to go, okay, I would like to, I'm going to eat something then. And maybe I'll have a light lunch. Maybe I'll end up, you know, not even having lunch if I'm not hungry, like who knows, but being open to letting, you know, the body express its signals and then following them, which is truly the natural way to eat. We all ate that way when we were born. And, you know, we just are trying to come back to that. So the plans and the protocols and all that can be, you know, very, very helpful, especially in the beginning. And then we're like, oh, but do I have to follow it forever? Well, maybe you want to, maybe that works great for you. Or maybe you want to actually build in some flexibility to be able to do what your body is actually asking for, what's really in, you know, in service to your body and yourself for the day, which I just think it's important to recognize like this, it doesn't have to be so black and white.
Yeah. Definitely doesn't feel that way. I mean, the protocol is very similar that I write out every morning. It just seems to be very same, but it keeps me in my groove and it doesn't feel punishing. I've created it. Nobody else has told me I have to eat this way. I've experimented with it.
It's like a gift you're giving yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that leads me into another thing you talked about is, you know, decisions ahead of time. So like learning that concept of like you decide in advance and then you don't have to think about it later. So that's really worked for you well then too.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, particularly for a food point of view, I guess is what we're talking about here. But yeah, I write my protocol first thing in the morning. I now have this little routine and all my family say, oh, mum's in the mummy spot, which is my my morning routine of my hot coffee, like before 7 a.m., because that's just when it can totally happen. And I do my protocol and I do my thought download and I just do my mind work first of all. And I'm so ready for the day once I've done that. And I have consistently done that now since probably May, like consistently, which is different to also how the early days of the Waldo program started for me.
Yeah. And just for anybody who doesn't know, Waldo is weight loss for doctors only, just because sometimes we just always use that, but that's the abbreviation. We lovingly call it Waldo. Yeah. And what I love too, is you weren't like, because I usually tell people write it out the night before and you're like, no, I'm going to do it in the morning. And here again, you make it work for you. What are you, if you're going to be consistent in the morning, then do it in the morning. Like the most important thing is that you're doing it and then following it. I think particularly doctors, but in general, some of us more type A, you know, or just people who like to control things. We just are like, but I need to know the exact rules so I can figure out how to get the A, whether that works for us or not, right? Kind of like at our own expense, or we had sacrificed what works well for us. If you don't want to do it at night, then don't do it at night, but make sure you do it. So when will you do it? I mean, you could plan for the whole week if you wanted and just get it over with once a week. I mean, you can do it however you want. It's just, do you, you know, are you listening to what works best, figuring it out, trying different things out until you figure out your own personal way, because you're the one who has to live it. Not me. What works for you is not necessarily going to work best for me. So that's, yeah. And like you said, like you chose it, you made the plan, not like in a, well, you chose it kind of a way, but more in a like ownership, taking responsibility. Like this is me taking great care of myself. This is just another example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love great. That. That's amazing. So, so good. So good. Okay, great. Well, yeah. I mean, you've just, all the things that we teach you, you're like, these are all the things that have helped me. Justifications and working through all of those, and you know, how to deal with eating, you know, to feel better and all of that. So good. So, so good. So what I would love, you know, kind of the final thing that I would love to ask you about is what you're like, some, you know, think about somebody who's, you know, on the fence, like maybe even one of your Australian colleagues who's like, I don't really know. And should I really do this? And does it really work for somebody who's in Australia? And, you know, can you make it, can you really get out of it what you need to get out of it? What would you say to someone who's thinking that?
Yeah, I would say jump in, jump on board, give it your best shot. Don't put pressure on yourself to achieve your goal weight at a certain time. That's just sort of unnecessary, unhelpful. For me, when I did try that out for a little bit, just kind of brought out the perfectionist mean girl in me. So that wasn't really helpful. And your coaches guided me through that. I would say this is a different way of doing weight loss and doing weight management for the long term. It's just a different toolkit to anything else, and it works, and it's kind and it's loving. There's a lot of group hug, or there's just sort of a lot of lovely
positive feeling of and support. Supportive.
Yeah. From within Weight Loss for Doctors groups. Certainly I would say if you no longer want to be consumed by thoughts of what you have eaten or what you will eat, this can be a place where that will free you up from those thoughts that might recur for you a lot and be quite heavy and be quite weighing down. I feel I've got a much clearer mind now, and that is translating around me in the house as well, in sort of decluttering and less stuff around than there used to be. And that's taken time as well, but it's that external way that looking around that is also great. So yeah, I would say Katrina's got this. She's well practiced at this. You've been doing this for, I've got no idea how many years.
5 years, which is like a million years in the online world.
Yeah. And the new program is A1. Like, I am going to be redoing your program because you've sort of revamped this, got some new concepts in there. It's so amazing that you let us like keep looking at it or keep doing it even after we've finished. Yeah, I would say jump in.
Amazing. So good. So good. Okay, wait, one more thing that I want to talk about. I forgot. You kind of reminded me of something you said. Okay, so you were invited to be a member of the Royal, is it Australasian? Australasian, mm-hmm. How do you say that?
That's the word, Australasian. You got it.
Okay. The Royal Australasian College of Physicians member health and well-being committee. And this is what you wrote. You said, a year ago, I would have felt too shy, no value to add, too reserved to join. Now I am so looking forward to being part of this committee and feel I have lots of value to add and good ideas to contribute. That seriously, I was just like, see, this is what I'm talking about. When I'm like, it's not about the weight, right? Like, it's like, yeah, okay, great. You handled that. And that's amazing. But like, think of the whole ripple effect, all these other changes. Like, that's incredible. What do you have to say about that? It's so good.
Yeah. I saw this opportunity come up and I just didn't really know much about it. I thought, well, I'll just put in an application and say all the things, the exciting things that I'm looking forward to. And it was about 2 months till we actually heard back. I only coached with you once in the whole Weight Loss for Doctors program. Mm-hmm. And the one
which
time
is such
I
a
did,
good, that's just a good example, right? You can be in another part of the world on the opposite side and still get so much out of the program.
Yeah. It might have been 6 a.m. in the morning on our summer break. And that was just when it had to happen. But I got on that call and I talked to you about sort of authority and my confidence in the presence of somebody else who seems to have a more authoritarian role in an organization. And you really helped me work through some of those blocks that I had there. So that was January. And now fast forward to July, I feel so much more comfortable in that workspace. You know, I think the English medical system is a hugely hierarchical medical system. It certainly was when I was a junior doctor in about 2002. And that stayed with me for a while. But now through the work also that I've done here, I feel a lot more value just to give what I am, who I am. And if people want to have an opinion about that, that's wonderful. That's their opinion. I don't need to be swayed by that. I can just give what I've got to give. And if it's not wanted, well, that's fine. But I reckon it's pretty worthwhile. And that's why I'm here. And that's why the first committee meeting, we might even talk about how we can zip that name together so it's not such a long committee name.
You need some sort of abbreviation. Like, yeah, I don't know how to say that.
Don't we? Yeah. So yeah, I feel I've got a gift to give, which in January I would have really struggled if that opportunity had come up. Yet actually I think some of the same knowledge would have been in there in January. It was just the confidence in expressing that. So this is phenomenal.
It's you believing in you. It's your thoughts about yourself that have changed that are now driving the action of you, you know, applying for this and doing this and believing that you have something to offer and that you deserve to be there just as much as anybody else. I just love that. I think, cause you know, here's the thing, like we all want things to change. We all want, like you said, like, you know, just with the hierarchical system and how to deal with all the hierarchy and the, you know, authority and all the different things that we're kind of taught when we're super down low on the totem pole, like you're not allowed to, you know, think this way or act this way or whatever. And just like, when do you get the permission to be you, like you are not going to get that permission. Like you have to give it to yourself and you have to recognize that there's value in who you are. Like that's the world needs you. And now you're giving of yourself in that way. And it's so exciting. I'm happy for you. Yay. So good. Wonderful. Well, and congratulations for being chosen. I think that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so
well,
much.
Joe, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. It's, you know, actually we found a time that wasn't like in the middle of the night for either of us, which is awesome. So happy for both of us.
Yes, absolutely. Me too, Katrina.
So good.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It's been such a great ride. 12 months in Weight Loss for Doctors only. Amazing outcomes, far, far, far beyond weight loss only. There's been so much more. So thank you so much for all that you do. You're a real gift to women doctors around the world and beyond.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, Joe.
Ready to start making progress on your weight loss goals? For lots of free help, go to KatrinaEubelMD.com and click on free resources.